Welcome back to Joie de Vivre.
Above DIY Short Form Sacramento Kings Podcast. We're back, episode 142 from Ridgewood, Queens. I'm your producer, Mike Cardarelli, and from Bushwick, Brooklyn. It's your host, talent evaluator, Dave Neuschatz. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up with me? I got gout. She got gout. We got gout.
It's back.
I got the Kings and Thieves just in time for the home stretch of the season. Went to Mexico, ate and drank everything, and instead of just taking a week off, when I got back, I was like, I haven't seen a buddy of mine for like a month and a half. I haven't hung out with another buddy.
Oh, no.
And I fell victim. Then I had a big-ass Polish stuffed sausage at Karshma. What? Breaded cutlet?
Como se dice gout en español?
Yeah, yo no sé. Mexico was unreal. Didn't see any NBA players, but saw humpback whales, dolphins, flying rays, caught mackerel.
Oh, you're fishing.
Yeah, did some deep sea fishing, made ceviche on the boat.
Wow.
Caught what I ate. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Unreal.
You were there for a while.
Yeah, I was there for like solid, 7 days with like a half day travel on either end.
Well, welcome back. I hope your foot's feeling better. We're in the final stretch here. It's the final quarter of the season. I can't believe it. So it's kind of weird because the All-Star break is so late. You want to think the All-Star break is like the halfway point, but it's so late now.
Yeah.
Let's get into the games. The Kings are 10 games above 500, 36-26 after the last-minute Spurs win the other night. We're recording on Saturday. 7th seed in the West, just below that play-in line, half a game behind the Suns. If the season ended today, they would play the Mavs in the play-in, the top play-in game, and then the Lakers-Warriors would play in the other game.
I'm hoping, T-Wolves can hold on to that third spot somehow. We can creep up to 6th and just...
Well, now with Towns hurt, and the Kings have played well against the T-Wolves, so...
Edwards goes nuclear for a little bit just to, keep him above, water.
Maybe hits his head on the rim, has to come out. All right, let's go through the recent games. What was the low point? Here's your candidates. The loss at home to a suspension-depleted Miami team that was, missing everyone from a fight the night before. Blowing a 22-point lead to Chicago at home or something else. It's one of those two, I feel like.
It's the blowing the 22-point lead to Chicago at home because, Miami just does this.
It's just like Miami does. It's true.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think they have, a hypnotist that just, makes them, all right, we're out 3 starters. Let's hypnotize you into thinking you're 1.5 times as good as you actually are.
It's true.
For a game or two. But, oh, my God. The fourth quarter turnovers were so frustrating. And I knew we were going to lose when it was a 14-point game with, 6 minutes left. I just knew.
Had a bad feeling. Yeah.
It was the first game. I only watched the second half. But my girlfriend was watching it with me. It's the first, Kings game she's ever, actually watched.
Oh, God. Welcoming.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a good welcoming because I was like,
this is what it is. This is often what it is.
Uh-huh. Just yep. She's it was so frustrating. The inbounding, the NBA refereeing's hard, but if you're gonna let Domantas Sabonis get slapped in the forearm on a Statue of Liberty dunk when only all 3 referees are just watching the guy dunking the basketball and Andre Drummond slaps his hand, and then on the other end, Kobe White can just do a clear out drive on, I think it's Box or Monk, and just do a stop and then just full on forearm extension into the guy's stomach, shoving him off of him and hit a layup. I just don't understand. It's it all comes down to that.
Yeah.
All the fuck ups, everything can just come down to and that was in the last 2 minutes. I'm just I don't understand what is happening. I think the Kings complain too much, too. I think the Kings officially complain too much about fouling as well. I think that hurts them in the long run.
It just was so disappointing coming off that nice Minnesota win. as far as the pluses, like, what was the high point in this recent stretch? The win in Minnesota without Fox behind Malik Monk's 39 points. Fox scoring 44 to win on the road against the Lakers in the game after the Chicago loss. Or the last game, Thursday night, Monk had a late three. Sabonis had an awesome steal and dunk to beat the Spurs in the final minute of a game that would have been a horrible loss. That was like a sports movie, though, the Sabonis steal and dunk. Yeah. You don't see that very often at the end of a game.
Yeah, against the Wembley-less Spurs.
Right, he didn't even play. Sorry to all the Kings fans who bought tickets to see him. That sucks.
Yeah, and he's been so good recently. But it's the Lakers win. Of course it's going to be the Lakers win. It's like Fox felt like in the last 4 minutes just put his foot on the throat of the Lakers and was just like floater, like doing whatever he wanted. It was sick. I mean, they were getting stomped that game. They
were losing big early, right.
Yeah. They were on like 38-13 or 39, something like that. Then they reeled off like a crazy run. Like 30-5 to come back. Carter was so lost in the first 6 minutes of that game. He didn't know what to do. Got like two dumb turnovers, missed an open three. They let him shoot a three. And then he gets pulled. Monk immediately comes in. Game changes. Game completely changed. Monk comes in, like makes an 18-footer. It's like, all right, it's on. Monk was fantastic. LeBron just went to the locker room with 4 minutes left after not showing any. It's like, oh, brain cramp. Gotta hit the ice bath early. Yeah, LeBron threw in the white towel.
All right, so that's where we're at. They played 62 games. There's 20 left. Let's go to a different segment. Last season at this point, the Kings were one game better, 37-25. And then they didn't finish super strong. Remember, they finished 11-9 over the last 20, and they finished 48-34. The Kings would have to go 12-8 to match last year's record. How do you think they're going to do in these last 20 games? I want you to go through these last 20. 13 are at home, which is good.
Yeah. I looked at this last night, like before I even saw this segment was a thing. Like I was just like on a whim, just like, all right, let's see how many games left. All right. We can win 14 games. I don't think we will, but I think we got to win one against the Pelicans. There's the Lakers, Mavs. There's a couple gimmies. We got the Spurs again, but I bet we'll win 12. I think at the beginning of the season, I predicted we'd win one less than we did last year, but win a playoff round. And I think at this point, like we're probably just going to go 12-8.
I could see it. Same record kind of feels right. It feels like they haven't taken a step forward or back this year. I have a little stat segment coming up that goes into detail on that. But you heard it here, 48-34, Dave's prediction. Okay, let's go to this stat segment. I did some research, just like that time I counted all of Luka Doncic's 30-point games. similar process. I'm looking for like a single stat because I'm trying to understand this season. It's been weird where some guys have stepped up, but it doesn't seem like they had that internal improvement that we're hoping for after kind of standing pat this offseason. I think PER is a little dated now for those like single player efficiency stats, but it seems like box plus minus is kind of a cooler stat now. This tries to filter out, you know, how good the team is and tries to get a sense of the player's impact on offense and defense. So these are always flawed, but I think this is a cool one. The fact that Jokic is first in the NBA and Scoot Henderson is last among qualifiers feels right.
Yeah.
And Sabonis is in the top 10. He's number 8, which feels right as well. So I'm going to go through each player and I'm going to ask you if you feel like they're, according to box plus minus, are they better than last year or are they worse than last year? So don't cheat because I have this in our shared doc, but here we go.
Do you? I don't even see it.
Okay. Don't look.
I won't.
Okay. First, this is going in order of minutes. Domantas Sabonis.
Butter.
Yes. De'Aaron Fox.
Let's see. He's more efficient on offense, and he's getting almost a full steal more a game this year. Better.
Actually worse, according to
what?
2.5 to 1.7.
Is box plus minus just like your plus minus for the game while you're on the floor?
No.
Or is it like, okay, it takes in a whole bunch of...
Yeah, it's like it's an advanced stat.
He's scoring like two more points. He's getting...
There's some surprising ones coming up. Keegan Murray. This is also a tough one.
Probably worse. I would guess he's worse.
He's worse. Even though there's a lot of stories about how good his defense is, his three-point shooting percentage kind of kills him.
He's shooting like at home. He's getting like 17 and a half points a game on like 43-ish% from three and like 50 from the field. He's like way, but he's terrible on the road and hasn't missed a free throw in 16 games.
All right. Next one is Harrison Barnes.
Worse.
From minus one to minus 1.9.
He hasn't had a positive, just plus minus. I think he's had like two in the last, like, I don't know, 15 games or something.
Next one, Malik Monk.
Better.
Yep. Kevin Huerter.
Worse.
Yes. Trey Lyles.
Maybe worse?
Yeah, is it worse? I was a little unsure on that. From minus one to minus 1.5 for him. Davion Mitchell.
Shit.
This is tough, because was it ever good? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like what constitutes? I'm going to say worse.
Yeah, it's worse. From minus 2.8 to minus 4.2, which is pretty bad.
He looks lost on defense. I thought I was like, he has off nights. He is off night.
Next one, I'm not going to ask you to guess because it's kind of unfair. Keon Ellis is actually down from 1.3 to 0.1, but it's such a few minutes last year that it's not really statistically significant. But his number is actually solid. Yeah, even though it's technically down. Alex Len.
Fucking.
This is like impossible. Yeah, he's technically better because last year was so bad. He went from minus 4 to minus 1.5. The last one was Kessler Edwards.
Exponentially better.
Worse, minus 2.5 to minus 2.9. So of the returning Kings, only three are statistically, according to Box Plus Minus, having a better season. Sabonis, Monk, and Alex Len. It feels right. The Fox one is confusing to me, but we're not seeing that internal improvement. I think that Monty and we were open for, right? Like,
yeah.
Miles, Huerter, Barnes, yeah. Even Murray, they have not taken that step that we were hoping for, and that's why we're here, one game worse than last year, you know?
Yeah. Totally. It is what it is. I should say Davion Mitchell has played better in the last 10 games. I think it's the best, feels like his best 10-game stretch overall. He has actually had a couple good three-point shooting nights that helped us out. But, that feels right. It's like Sabonis, he's leading the league in triple-doubles. Like, he should have been the all-star. I mean, I think Fox should have been too, but, right. Like, that makes sense. And, like, Monk was snubbed for sixth man of the year. I immediately aged terribly.
Right.
And he is like the standout. He's the guy. If Norm Powell gets it, I'm gonna be pissed.
Because it seems like it's down to us too.
Like, what does it mean? Like, he means so much to this team. This team relies so much on him. And then like Len is like, you know, whatever.
He's
so good for how big he is to how bad he is. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. He's quick. He's got good footwork. Like, why?
Right. Here's the other part of this long segment. The internal improvement hasn't been there from the returning guys. 8 of 11 are having a statistically worse season, according to this stat. Also, the off-season additions have not paid off. Duarte, minus 3.6. Vezenkov, minus 1.2. JaVale, minus 1.6. Colby Jones, minus 7.7. Toscano Anderson, minus 9.6. The other guys they've only played a handful of minutes, but every off-season addition is a minus in this stat. Of this group of players in this final 20 games, who do you think could maybe catch fire and kind of lead them into the playoffs going strong. Like, who would you pick out of this group of underperformers?
I think Murray's going to step up. His drive game, his off the dribble game has been like, that has picked up. So he's like, overall, he's shooting like over 50%. But I think he's going to just put it together. I think the Kings are going to sharpen up. And I think, you know, we're gonna get that sixth seed and we're going to ride Murray. Murray's going to step up. It's about time.
All right. I hope you're right. Let's go to final thoughts. Okay. I got one, Dave. Shout out to Reddit user Trailblazers100, who noticed that Marvin Bagley is on pace to have the worst NBA season ever by win-loss percentage. Just going to read his post on Reddit. Marvin Bagley is on pace to beat the Bobcats' worst season of all time. As a Piston, he was traded when the team was 3-36. He was traded to the Wizards, who have gone 2-22 since and create 5-58 seasons so far. Bobcats had a winning percentage of 10.6, so, and Bagley's is 7.9. I think he can do it. This is the thing I'll be paying the most attention to as the season wraps. I'm so excited about this. The Bagley experience just keeps paying off, comedy-wise. Might have to buy his NFT back, you know? It's a top shot. Time to buy back in low, you know?
Yeah, it's time.
As always, JDV is a DIY project. If you want to support the show, rate and review the pod. What do you got, Dave?
So there's something called Smud, which has been a longtime sponsor of the...
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it on the Kings broadcast. It's very confusing as a non-Sacramento person.
Yeah, they provide... They're like an electric utility company in Sac, and... They have something called the Smud Cam, and it has maybe the worst angle I've ever seen in my life. Aside from the floor cam that showed players' genitals from time to time on TV, it's from like a foot below the hoop, so you just see the rim. It's just like the worst angle of it. It's just consistently so bad, and it's so Kings. It's like probably one of the longest sponsors of the Kings. It's just like the worst Smud Cam. It also just sounds terrible.
Smud could use a rebrand just as an outside observer.
Yeah.
It's too bad you can't watch a whole game from the Smud Cam, like alternate feed.
Yeah. Honestly, pay more and then have it go into the electrical grid. Maybe that's part of like the going carbon neutral part. Do your part. Donate to Smud. So like as Domantas Sabonis got the steal and then dunked it at the end of the Spurs game to win. And then on the Smud replay, as it was slow motion, like it slowed down, and then like I started to see this man galloping towards the hoop, and I started to hear 8-bit remix Lithuanian free jazz.
That might be a gout symptom. Get checked out, everybody. Be safe.